discovery. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Dan? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Close? Or for two?
Did we get a motion on the first one, Mayor?
Yeah, we'll correct the first one.
Yep.
I make a motion to excuse, who was it, me, Gina? Gina Doro.
Second.
You vote on that?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, next portion is citizen input. This is a portion for, to hear from anybody in our audience tonight on any subject that is not related to the agenda item. I know we got one out there that would like to speak tonight. Wendy? If you would state your name and address for the record, please.
Okay. My name is Wendy Risen May, and my address is 660 North 11th Avenue, Othello. And my special guest, I'll let her introduce herself.
I am Brooke Renance, the distinguished young woman of Othello for the year of 2013.
My purpose in coming before the City Council is Distinguished Young Woman is a program that used to be called Junior Miss, used to be part of Othello for years and years and years, and then it kind of died off. But we now have a Distinguished Young Woman for this year, and we are seeking funds from the city to help with some of our startup costs. Particularly, we are required to carry insurance when our young woman goes to parades, and the cheapest insurance policy we could find was $1,100. Probably the highest we found was $2,500, but I'm not 100% sure, but from another board member in the past, they mentioned that some of the tourism money, the city was willing to help with some of those costs, especially with the insurance. So we are starting from ground zero, and we're trying to build our program, but I wanted to bring our special representative of Othello to show you that we have liftoff in Othello and representation. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, approval of the agenda. We are going to delete the executive session tonight. So do I hear a motion on the agenda?
I move to approve tonight's agenda with the exception of the executive session.
Second.
Second on that?
Mark.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Sorry.
Okay, consent agenda?
I so move.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, first thing on the agenda, consideration of the swim team contract. Molly?
Hi, I'm Molly Clippert. I'm the Parks and Rec coordinator, and this is Rachel Sly. She is our pool manager. So we have a few items on the docket. So we will start with the 2012 swim team contract. So, let's see here. The difference, or we are coming in front of you to ask for approval for the swim team contract for the 2012 season. There are a couple changes from the 2011 schedule or 2011 contract. Their trainings will be held from 3:45 p.m. to 5:45 p.m. June 4th through 8th. Their practices will then be moved to 7 a.m. From 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. June 11th on. Their meets will take place various Tuesdays and Thursdays throughout June 12th through July 25th. As for the payment and the differences that lie in last year's contract and this year's contract. $40 per day for training purposes. So every day that there is a practice at the pool, we will ask that the swim team pay $40 per day and $11 per lifeguard. The difference from last year, we went over the contract in the pool committee meeting, and this did not arise. We took into account the fact that it was requested to have concessions open during the swim meets for 2 hours. So due to that request, we did change the swim meet fee in order to cover our operating costs and to cover the cost of having those employees present. That would include a manager on staff and two concession stand workers for 2 hours after that, or for 2 hours throughout the meet, and the manager would be there throughout the whole meet. The meets start from approximately 4 p.m. and can go until 10 p.m. So, like I said, we revised the swim meet fee in order to cover staffing costs for managers and concession workers during swim meets. That's compared to the $50 fee that we had in 2011. What we also took into account, that you'll see later, is that we are proposing a little bit of a fee or a little bit of a pay raise for our employees due to the raise in minimum wage for Washington State. So this reflects that. This $130 fee would reflect that new pay for our employees. So we request that there is an approval for this swim team contract.
Okay. Tim, I guess are you representing the swim team on the contract again this year? Have you got anything to say?
Yeah, a lot of questions.
Okay. This is your chance. Could you?
You come up? Okay.
Yes.
Leave me alone up here with it. Tim Taff, 1346 Fur, in Othello, and tonight my hat is the swim team. One of the things, if I remember correctly, because I was at that pool meeting, we didn't have a full contract to go over, and so these cost increases actually were a surprise to me today, which I had to call and ask for a copy of the new revised contract. So that's a pretty big shock for when we start multiplying out. Last year we did not have a $40 a day training fee, and so if we add all these total costs up, that'll increase the cost of doing swim team more than 100%. And we've already done all our registration. We did our registration in April, and to have all of a sudden to figure out that no, it's not going to cost you $2,600, it'll cost you almost $5,000. To do swim team and rent the pool this year is kind of causing a mild panic, because we've already got the checks and the registration for our 52-ish swimmers for the year. So that's quite a change for us. Last year we paid, like you say, $50 for the pool per meet, which is a 125% increase with $130 on it. For us, the cost of having to have the concession stand open is not worth the $500 it cost us throughout the year. It's good, it's nice to have, but not at that cost. So for us, it's we need a little more time to negotiate on that, if there is any room to negotiate. Kelly and Trish are here. Kelly's the money lady, and kind of done some numbers crunched for us as far as what it would cost us. And so we started throwing those around, you know, just today, because I just got a copy of this today with these increased costs in it. So that's what we'd like you to consider. If you have any questions for us, it really kind of makes it prohibitive to have a swim team if we're going to go with this contract. So that's a frustration for us, you know, at this point. Somewhere we've got to come up with extra $2,600 that we don't have in our budget to do. Either double our fees or something to be able to make swim team happen this year. We consider, and we understand that the need to pay for the employees for the concessions and all those increases, but I think that The amount of cost is what is for us a shocker. You know, if it was 2, 3, 4, 5%, it'd be something, but 100%. I guess the tame word we would call it would be outrageous, but above that would be a little more descriptive. So, have questions for us or comments? Yes.
I guess my question is, what would our swim meet be if we didn't have to cover the staffing costs for now to the concession workers? What's, you know, the increase in the rental fee for the swim meet? If it's not broken out, it's just going up to $130 a year.
And then I also had a question on the hours. You started it at 4, our meets don't start until 6.
So the question was, the hours have increased on our meet nights from 4 to 10. Our meets don't start till 6. We get there at 5 to set up. Why the extra hour? None of us will even be there at 4 o'clock.
Do we have a copy of last year's contract? You do?
Would the staff like to respond to any of your questions right now?
The pool closes at 4 on pool nights because we still have to, in order to clean the facility before the swim team gets there and be able to get all those people out, that's why the pool closes at 4 and then proceed to get the lane lines in and everything else for the swim meet. It's not that they pay for that hour, it's just a change. When they get there, they get there. It's usually roughly 4:45 to or 5. And I would like to say that the $40, it is the same as last year. It was stated that it was different, and that everything on the schedule changed besides the dates of the swim meets and the meet fee. The rest of it, the $40 was used from last year's contract, so.
Okay, my comment is I'm on that pool committee, and I was at the last meeting, and none of these were brought up. We were under the impression that the contract was going to pretty much be the same as it was last year, and all of a sudden I'm finding now, I didn't find out about this until just before the meeting. Me, if it was up to me, I wouldn't go right now. I would stay what we said at our last meeting. I don't know if it's up to this council, if they want to sit down with the full committee again and talk this out and bring it back at the next meeting.
There's a copy of last year's contract and the training days. It tells the city will charge Barracuda $11 an hour for guard each day the Barracuda elects to use the city pool for training purposes. That's all the financial discussion in the training days section of the contract. That's where we came up with the $40 a day.
The previous year we did pay the $40. We did not pay the guard fee. And last year when we met, that was the compromise. We would pay the guard fee. This can be the $40 a day.
I'll make a comment, Mr. Mayor. The issue of the contract and now the discrepancies, you're right, it was all agreed to at the committee meeting with the staff. However, after the meeting was over, a suggestion was made that why didn't the city put the concession stand in? So that's where this new computation came from. It didn't end until today. So I would suggest, as you did, Mr. Mayor, that we just hold this over to the next meeting. The week isn't going to hurt either side, I don't believe. Let us sit down again, bring you back a decent recommendation that makes some sense.
Doesn't this have to be put in place before they start practicing?
Yeah.
Or can they operate off the old contract until we?
If you say they can.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's do that. I make a motion for the swim team and swimming pool staff to operate under 2011 contract until the new one is restructured.
I'll second.
Until the next council meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay. first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Next 2 weeks or a week?
Next week.
Yeah, we can look at it next week.
Okay, next up on the agenda, which we kind of touched on. Oh, sorry. Oop.
Okay, next item, 4.2, 2012,
full employee pay.
Go ahead, Molly.
Sorry. Okay.
Oh, you're doing a good job.
So we are proposing, this was not discussed in the pool committee meeting. It was reviewed once we completed our hiring and realized that some of our pay for our employees would have been under minimum wage. So we needed to take into account the fact that Washington State minimum wage was raised by 37 cents this year. So what we are proposing is to raise everyone's pay at the pool by 37 cents. And we are also asking that we continue to pay the employees a one-time returning fee of 10 cents per hour. This, we feel, creates a good camaraderie between ourselves and our employees, and also kind of invites them back every year and gives them a reason to continue to be on our staff, and gives the people within the city some consistency in the staffing at the pool. So we are proposing that we approve the 37 cent increase for each position that you see up there: concession, lifeguard, lifeguard with WSI, our assistant manager, and our managers.
37 cents gets us to minimum wage average, right?
Correct.
I so move that we approve the pool employee pay increase pay.
I'll second.
A second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Have any choice anyway.
4.3,
2012
concession list.
Okay. So next up we have our 2012 pool concession menu. We are proposing that we keep with the same menu as 2011. We have all the same products that we had on there last year. As you can see, there's coffee highlighted. It has been requested in our pool committee meeting, pool council committee meeting, to add coffee to the agenda for our concession stand to be open for late nights, for example, for a swim team. This kind of helps, you know, at the beginning of the summer, so we can help to keep the patrons at the swim meets warm. So in your council documents, I made an error and did not calculate the fact that when you make coffee, there is some water in it. And so I divided everything a little more steep than I should have. So it actually turns out to be a cheaper cost for us. It will be, the coffee costs $8.98 for 33.9 ounces. We propose that we make, that we charge $1.35 for each cup. The order price with the cup and the coffee with the 1.15 ounces of coffee that goes in it would end up being 40 cents of our cost, and would give us a just about 33% increase or gain on that concession price, which I believe was agreed to last year. So we are asking to approve of the 2012 pool concession menu with the addition of coffee. I would say $1.25, because we're, I mean, still making good money, and I believe it would be over the 33% markup if we went to 150, so.
So moved.
With that one change of $1.25.
Can I step a second? further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, 4.4, 2012, pool barbecue.
Okay, we are coming to you after a review by the pool council committee to approve the fees for our the barbecue that was approved to be added outside of the pool or inside of the pool area. And so we are proposing two separate fees, which we reviewed in our council committee. The first fee comes from, or the first chunk comes from our 24-hour notice, which allows us to allows anyone who's renting either a pool party or who comes and, you know, wants to have a group over there to rent the pool barbecue for however, or for up to 2 hours. We ask for an $80 refundable deposit. If the grill is cleaned and in good working order, they will be returned that $80. We then ask for a $20 fee to be imposed in order to cover costs of the propane refill. And then along with that, we also ask for $20 per hourly use that is able to cover any work that goes into cleaning it afterward or anything like that. If these rentals, just like the pool, are canceled, pool rentals are canceled within 7 days, the money is refunded. The second fee is for anyone who is at the pool and requests to rent the barbecue with less than 24 hours notice. There is an $80 refundable deposit that is returned if the grill is clean and in good working order, just like if you were to give 24-hour notice. There's a $20 fee that remains the same to cover the propane refill. There's a $30 fee, which we discussed in the pool council committee, because that allows us to call one of our, or to cover the cost of calling one of our employees to come and grab the propane, staff it, or, you know, to staff that barbecue for that amount of time to set it up and get it in good working order for whoever chooses to rent it. And then that is in addition to the same $20 hourly use fee. So we're looking at one difference, which is the $35 fee, which is kind of a late notice and allows us to pay for if we need to overtime for one of our employees to go and set that up, since it will not be a pool, you know, it won't be a lifeguard or a concession stand employee. So we are asking for you guys to please approve the barbecue fees.
Any questions for council? I think this is going to be a recommendation.
If you haven't seen it, you should go see it. It looks really good.
Do I hear a motion to set the fee on the barbecue?
So moved.
Second.
A second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
To change the schedule one more time. last year, the swim team had the pool in the morning from 7 to 10, which this year they proposed the hours less. So I am wanting to move swim lessons up into that hour and then provide lap swim in the afternoon from 11:30 to 12:15, right before open swim. And then everything else is the same. Yes. Yes. Drew in a lot of working parents to bring their kids. Yes.
Any further questions or comments?
Did you have a lot of rental?
What was that?
Did you have a lot of rental time taken up?
Yes. Mostly in the weekends, but then we have a lot of people like the library club and fire department. They have like their set days, or some are on the weekdays, so they come constantly yearly. So we have it open each night, and it could either be an hour to 2 hours, depending on what they want.
You ever thought about moving that family swim up or back?
Because what was that?
Your family swim sits on a Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and that most of the night where most of the youth groups and all that might want to rent that?
Think
you'd be able to?
We allow, like, say, like the Nazarene Church has brought in kids still on a Wednesday night after youth group. And what we do on the side is just tally each, like, say, they come in and Pastor Bob will stand there and say, with Nazarene Church, so we just tally. And then at the end of everyone there, we give him the fee of how many people have come in. So it's still, like, we won't stop it to just rent it out personally.
Oh,
we'll always keep Family Swim. Because it's a high.
That's available for any group, right?
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure.
Just an example.
I don't want to get any bad examples in the newspaper on that. So.
Just an example. It's all the, what is it, Vacation Bible School. Each church does it, has their swim.
I'm good. As long as it's open to all organizations.
It is.
Like, sure, so moved.
Okay, so we are the Council Pool Committee and pool staff. We have discussed and reviewed possibilities for changing the pool fees for entry each day, as well as our swim lessons, and we are also proposing a fitness hour, which is basically, or a fitness pass, which is kind of gives people incentive to attend our fitness hour and will help drive in attendees, and hopefully we can by then be able to bring in other activities such as Zumba or you know, just more water activities for people, and can continue to make that a good selling hour. We'll start with our current pricing. We are currently at $4 per day for adults. We are at $3 for children 6 to 17. Swim lessons are $30 a session. And a fitness hour is at the same rate and paid at the same rate as the entry fee. So the changes that we are proposing are adults, we are proposing the entry for each day to be raised by $1. So adults will be $5, children 6 to 17 will be $4, and we will have a senior rate of $4, which is 65 and over, but we will not be IDing people. So, and then we are also asking for swim lessons to be raised, or the fee to be changed to $31 per session, and the fitness pass, which will be a 10 entry pass for every fitness hour they would like to attend. It will be $40, but it is discounted from $50, and like I said, would give them incentive to continue to attend that. Given our stats from the last couple years, sorry, this is really small, but it's also in your memos, I went through and looked up the 1 year that we tracked passes or entry for each child and adult was in 2008. So we went through and used those percentages over the average of the last 5 years in our average earnings. So over the last 5 years, our average earnings were $55,817.83 at the pool. In 2008, child day passes consisted of 40% of the earnings at the pool. Then the adult day passes were 14%, or adult day entry was 14%. So if we took those numbers and used them and multiplied our new fees by that, we are looking at an increase of projected earnings to $73,218. And you can see here that with that money, because we may have been taking money out of the general fund to cover the operating expenses of the pool, that will then save $13,698 from the general fund that was being used with those prices, and we are able to save the city that much from the general fund for our operating expenses. And then if you add the increase to swim lessons with the $1, given the average rates that we've had from the, or the average sales that we've had from the last 5 years, you'd be adding an average of $164, which still helps the bottom line and helps us save money from the general fund. And it would then equal roughly around $13,863 dollars that we would save from pulling from the general fund. So I think what we're proposing is to raise these fees in order to not only help out the cost for the pool, but to also help out the money that we're pulling from the general fund for our operating costs. So I think it's kind of a win-win. And we vote to approve the fee changes for 2012. We ask that you do, sorry.
Don't we have an annual pass?
We do.
It's not on there.
We do have an annual pass, but if you see these, the numbers that are at the very end of your packet, these are our area pool fee comparisons. What we voted to change were the things that we thought we were maybe a little lacking in compared to cities that were near us. So that's why we voted to change just the daily entry, whereas if we were to change the pass, we were pretty much right around the average for everyone. So we felt that we would start with the entry pass and see how that went, and then if we needed to revisit it next year, we could possibly propose raising that if we saw a dramatic increase in that. So. But like I said, we've asked to keep it the same just because, you know, it might be a little bit of a shock to people who are coming to the pool, and it might be just kind of a good way to see how this is going to benefit us, and it's something that, you know, was a little bit less than some of the people in our area, and we felt that it was fair to, you know, pick that out to raise, so.
I'll second it.
A second? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Okay, I think we're done for you for a minute, Holly. We have a seat. 4.7, consideration of LOMA funding. Also.
Several weeks ago, months ago, a long time ago, I was before the council with several items. One of them was a request for the council, along with the 25 other cities in the four counties, to consider sending a letter of recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners, which I think you see on your screen there, that proposes that the, I haven't read this one, but normally proposes that that you encourage the Grant County, the Adams County Commissioners to continue pursuing the process of creating an aqua protection area and an assessment, it says in the second paragraph. And so we have received several letters from cities already, and there are many cities considering it, as our suggested time frame was May 30th. Some cities have asked us if they can take longer, and there's nothing I can do about that. But anyway, the time frame scenario that involves with this particular process is that a hearing process has to occur during the summer, or an August 7th decision date to put it on the November ballot. And the actual assessment is determined by the population, the elected population of the counties, not by the cities, It has to show some momentum of potential success to actually get put on the ballot. So that's what the letters are all about. The current proposal for the assessment fee, and most people ask that. We had started out with a proposed $10 per parcel per year assessment. There have been several cities and other entities weighed in on that particular proposal. Last Thursday, the Guam Board approved a change in that proposal. Again, this will have to go through hearing and decided by decision at the end. The current proposal has been changed from to a $5 per year parcel fee and a schedule of fees for large production wells. Mainly you know them as agricultural irrigation wells, running roughly $100 to $200 a year, depending upon the size of the well. And are you interested in seeing what your share of it is? I suppose I did bring it here. And so the question before the council tonight is, would you consider recommending to your mayor to sign the presented letter to be presented to the county commissioners? And the assessment fee structure would be collected by county tax rolls to the county assessor. Wouldn't be a burden to the city in any way in that respect. It wouldn't be a fee for the city itself. Calculator, the first one.
Just over $10,000 for a well, I think.
$10,175, it says. Correct. Be the annual potential based on the numbers we've received from the county auditor and parcels, et cetera. And then you see the well size calculations there below it for the identified production wells in the county of Adams. So there you go. And so this would raise approximately $1 million a year. So the next question you should be asking me, what is it you plan to do with that money? Well, about half of that money would provide funding for a staff of people to collect data and continue to participate in what we've been doing previous to this. And that would include a director and a clerical person and two scientists. And we've been through you before with some of the data that we've collected and solutions and directions we've been going, and our expectations continue to expand on that and provide groundwater solutions to cities and agriculture based on the understanding we've gained over the years and the model and the models and the databases that we have. So in order to make that function, you have to continually every year bring in the new updated data. And so the remaining $500,000 would be divided amongst collecting new data, the lab fees and et cetera that cost to process them, and then some consulting fees for the geochemists, the modelers, and the other science individuals to process that information. And finally, we are expecting to participate with the State Department of Health and the State Department of Ecology's Office of Columbia River in projects that would find solutions for the water issues we have here in the four counties. Matter of fact, we're already doing that. We have been doing it for several years. But more on an official basis, we have a meeting on June the 6th, I think that's next week, in Spokane with the Department of Health's staff to outline their role in this process and possibly ours in the Department of Ecology's Office of Columbia River. As each water user group and each city have unique problems related to their groundwater as far as the solutions concern, they all share somewhat the same problem that they're pumping older water, but the solution isn't always the same. So a portion of that $1 million we use for cost share in that particular process. That would be the outline of the usage of the funds. Okay, did I confuse you really fast?
Okay,
talk too fast.
That you're
pardon?
Collecting the $1 million that you said that this should generate, that's
four counties.
Four counties.
Yeah, at the bottom of that, if he runs that down to the bottom, clear to the bottom, there's all the counties are in there.
And you've got to get participation from all four counties in order to do this.
No, we don't. If one of the counties were to vote no, then there would just be three counties involved. And of course, then we wouldn't talk to them anymore. But it would, if there was just one, two, three, or four, that we'd have to make an alternate plan of what to, how to accommodate that process. That would be my expectation.
So our letter of support that you're asking for will go to our Adams County Commissioners?
Correct.
And my question was, is, and you answered part of it, was there a dollar amount attached to this letter of support?
There's no dollar amount attached to your letter, unless you wish there to be. The only expectation of a letter is that you've heard my spiel, and you're supportive of enough for them to continue the hearing process, in which you can participate in the next 90 days if you choose to do so, or you can just plain call up County Commissioner or me or anybody else, like some of the cities have, and just plain complain, or whatever you would like to do. And obviously, some of the cities have affected changes in assessment proposed already. So yes, it's an ongoing process to come up with a acceptable assessment structure. Correct.
Can I go? Yeah, Paul and Gina and Terry and I sat down and talked about this portion of it, not totally all of it, of what you've got. But I later went to that meeting on Thursday night, and the commissioners and whatnot are pretty much in figuring out that they've got this $5 fee that's going to work. One thing that Paul didn't mention here, we're talking about adding that fee to the wells, and it's proportioned out by the size of the well. Any city does not pay that because you're already paying that partial. So that is just the farm-related wells, right, Paul?
Correct.
So we wouldn't have that additional amount if it's all put into that $5 rate.
Correct. And that's correct. Guess that would be up for negotiation, wouldn't it? I haven't thought out every circumstance, so I can't give you an answer for that. But the intention was that those ratepayers that pay a parcel fee, which is the city, would not have to pay a one-time fee for their use of their well, because they're already doing that. When you consider an individual production well, as you refer, that's inside the city limits but only pays one $5 parcel fee, you're going to have to think about that. I don't know how that works. It's not a big deal to us as far as money goes, one way or the other. It's an interesting question. I don't have the answer to it. That's one of the entities, yeah. Right.
It sounds like the county commissioners, if they get support from all the cities, right, they can start the process and assess this on the tax rolls.
That's correct. Yeah, the dollar value that you're referring to for Othello is up there at the top. There you go. And as I told Rudy Plager, Adams County is paying 12-15% of the total cost, and they're about 50% of the problem. So,
yeah.
No, I'm just joking. But you do have a small percentage because of the number of parcels and et cetera related to other counties like Grant and Franklin, because they have more parcels and more wells, et cetera. So they would pay more in whole, in a general whole, but not more per person.
Council have more questions from Mr. Stoker.
Is there any further questions from council? Comments? Okay. You have a motion for a letter of
support? Mayor, I had some comments that I wanted to make before council takes further action or has further discussion. I guess my concern on behalf of the cities is at this point, there are more questions raised than I have answers to. What Mr. Stoker is proposing is an aquifer protection agency or area, which is actually a separate special purpose district under Washington state law. So you're actually talking about two separate entities. There's Guama, which is the four county board for the groundwater management area, and then there is the proposed adoption of the aquifer protection areas. And each county would adopt its own aquifer protection area. That has to be done by the county commissioners after a public hearing. Then they adopt a resolution, and that resolution actually puts in the text of it the proposed ballot measure that goes before the voters, and then that would be subject to a majority vote of the residents of that county. And that ballot proposition has to state what the fees are going to be, how the fees are going to be calculated, who's going to be paying those fees, and also what the funds that are generated from those fees will be used to, will be expended for. So you're going to, if the concept is to do this on a four county-wide basis, then you're going to need some discussion between, as I see it, the four county commissioner groups, because they're all going to have to be on the same page in terms of what the rate structure is going to be, who's going to be charged the assessment, and what the assessment funds are going to be used for. Because as I understand it, the funds that Mr. Stoker is talking about raising would be then used by Guama to further Guama functions. That's not all that those assessments can be used to pay for under the statute for an aquifer protection agency or area. The other issue that I see is the rate structure that's proposed is to impose this flat rate on every single parcel within each county and the cities therein. The statute on aquifer protection areas only, as I interpret it, only allows the imposition of the assessment on those parcels who are either withdrawing groundwater or who are discharging through a septic tank into the groundwater. The original purpose behind the Aquifer Protection Agency was to protect the sole source aquifer from contamination and from being spent through individual wells. So this assessment charges those lots who are basically placing the burden on the aquifer, but it exempts all of the lots that are either on city sewer or city water. So if you were on city water but you had a septic tank, you would be subject to the septic tank rate. If you were on city sewer but had a well, you would be subject to the withdrawal, the water rate.
So before you ask another question, and I get way confused, can I respond to the ones you have up so far? So the first question you had was, real quickly, what was it exactly? Your question about how the money was to be used, and your first comment about it was an aquifer protection area would be separate from a groundwater management area. And the actuality is that in most cases in the state, they run basically the same if they're used for that purpose.
Well,
the question is that when we talked with the Department of Ecology and the Attorney General's office and all the auditors, the opinion was A, that the key was the resolution language that set it up. As long as it stated what you're going to use the money for, and again, you stipulate two conditions. There's only two aquifer protection areas functioning in the state, and that's what they're being used for. And there was language listed in the RCW relative to that. But the language in RCW actually says you can create the aquifer protection area for water purposes as long as you identify what it is you're going to do with the money. And we don't plan to do anything with septic tanks or with, what was the other one, septic tanks and city water supplies as far as hookups and et cetera. So the reason that we moved forward with this with the commissioners and et cetera, and we've spent quite a bit of time discussing with the groups that govern all this kind of stuff, is we had to come to some understanding of what those language terms in the RCW refer to, such as head of household, which is in there, and septic tanks and et cetera. And the opinion given to us was that the language in there was guidance, and with the general document was to, for the resolution to be well documented that went before the public, that stated what the assessment is, who was going to pay it, and what the money was going to be used for. And then you had to stay within those stipulations. It is true that the groundwater management area staff and activity are petitioning an aquifer protection area designation boundary to create this assessment and this resolution process within our boundaries. But it is a mechanism required by the state in order to accomplish that goal. Other Guamas have done the same thing. So that's the answer to number one. What was the second question?
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
In response? Which other Guamas have are located in counties where they have adopted an aquifer protection area to fund the Guama?
There's two aquifer protection areas functioning right now. One is in the Spokane Valley, which is a sole source aquifer designation functioning. And the second one is in Redmond, I believe, which I'm told there's a Guama there.
Yeah, there are only two aquifer protection areas that have been adopted since this legislation was enacted in 1985. And it's the Rathdrum, Spokane, and the city of Renton. To my knowledge, neither one of those are associated with Guama and were not set up in the context of funding a Guama. I know that one of my cities has been in contact with Scott Cave.
Yes.
Regarding and was the recipient of some emails between Mr. Cave and some Department of Ecology officials. I have not seen anything from the AG's office, and I would be interested to see.
Done most of that work. I'd have to contact him for that purpose.
Because I think you need to be clear that we're talking about two separate entities by statute. They are not related, even though there might be some room in the legislation for an aquifer protection area funds to be used for Guama groundwater management plans. I think that is something that if that's what's proposed to the electorate, that we see the ballots before we decide if we're going to support the effort or not, and that we see the ballots from all four counties so that we know, because the plan is to split this, essentially, this Guama research between funds from four counties that are generated for that purpose. Because you're dealing with four counties, four sets of commissioners, the electorates in four counties, and different amounts of money, I think there would probably be a desire to maybe have an interlocal agreement between the four counties to use those funds for the Aquifer Protection Agency. So I guess from my standpoint, on the legal end, I would like a little more information about what the ballot will say, whether or not they can indeed assess a flat rate on every parcel, or whether that's limited to the lots that are actually creating the burden on the sole source aquifer, which would be the lots who have a well or a septic tank. There is only one court case in the state of Washington that has even come close to interpreting the aquifer protection area statutes, and that was from the city of Spokane. And in reading that decision, I really do have concerns as to whether we can adopt a flat rate that assesses every parcel, because there is not that direct benefit burden nexus between that lot, say a vacant lot, which has no impact on the aquifer. So what benefit are they receiving, and what burden are they imposing or causing?
So let me answer that question. That's asked a lot. What does the work that the Guama does and the potential involvement in both city and county decision-making and federal and state decision-making in the future, what does that have value to a current lot that has no well on it? And there's a wide variety of impacts it has, and a lot of this stuff is in our documentation. But one is, if you are to do any improvement on a lot, you would require to have a source of potable water. And unless you have documentation and can figure out how to do that, essentially you are limited and you can't do any development. And so essentially the future of all lots that don't have water on them is reliant upon finding out where there's water that can feed that particular lot. And that's currently one of the major things we do. Secondly, any water rights transfers, water rights purchases, or any of those kind of processes that potentially would need to be cleared through a conservancy board and Department of Ecology for lots that have no development rights on them and would prefer them and want them, they need to have the capacity to show that is possible, and there's hydrologic continuity that works and makes it work. Same kind of problem you have right now with the city's water supplies. So there, the future of development of any unwatered lot is dependent upon what they can find out from what we do. And that's a major impact to those particular lots. Because we're not a purveyor of water, which is in the other cases of Renton and Spokane, they are purveyors of water. We are not providing a service whereby we would shut off your water if you didn't pay the dues, or you would pay a proportionate amount. The service that we're providing is the relationship of problem solving in our particular area that's been avoided for about 50 years. Where do you find water? Where are you not an impairment of your neighbor or your other cities? And how do you proceed? And that's a wide open spectrum of challenges, both in regulation and planning and process. The work that we do right now is the basic foundation for all participation by federal and state agencies in helping both the guys in the Development League of Odessa area, several other groups that we've already organized, and the cities soon to come up. So unless you can actually assess the magnitude of any particular problem and what the potential solutions are, you have really no consensus to move forward in an area that's just about to go dry. We don't profess to want to take on that part of the RCW that has anything to do with water purveyance or with the septic tank construction that has listed in the RCW. Our resolution would not pertain to any of that. But go to the stuff that I've just referred to. We did not actually invent the idea to go to RCW 36. The recommendation actually came from leadership of Department of Ecology in Olympia, who suggested that we do this. So I'm probably not as literate as they are on the law, so excuse me if I don't have all the answers.
In response to that, I absolutely agree that there is value to the research that Guama is doing. And I don't dispute that part of what you've talked about at all. Mm-hmm. What my concern is focused on is whether or not the aquifer protection area as a special purpose district is the proper mechanism to raise the kind of funding for the purpose that you're talking about. When you reference, for instance, Spokane and Renton as municipal purveyors of water and sewer, keep in mind that the aquifer protection agency or area that was adopted by Spokane County and applied countywide. And those people who had lots within the city of Spokane that were connected to water and sewer or were within water or sewer districts outside in the unincorporated areas, they were not required to pay the water and sewer or the assessment just because they were there and there might be some value.
And that's part and parcel to what I was suggesting before, that we've talked at length to the Department of Ecology Bill, et cetera. Put down in your resolution what the money is to be used for and what benefits could be ascribed to water users or landowners throughout the region, and that's how it came back to be a parcel evaluation, assessment evaluation. And the second reason is because the Renton and Spokane have the ability to designate and collect the fees based on households, and our particular counties don't have that capacity. They just don't have it. They don't have the ability to segregate how many households there is on a particular piece of property or not. Whereas these particular groups that did it before did have that capacity. And so we've talked to the county auditors and assessors about it, and they just say, I don't have the ability to implement a collection process like they do in Renton or in Spokane. So that's part of the reason we ended up in this scenario. Once we went that direction, we went back to ecology and to those people in those groups that had started this discussion, and with the auditors themselves throughout the counties, and sought the answers to the questions that you're asking right now. Is this acceptable? Does it fit the language of the law? And right now they're saying yes. And so I'm not good enough to say it myself, but they're saying yes.
Well, and perhaps there have been conversations between Department of Ecology staff and the Attorney General's office that mm-hmm. represents the Department of Ecology. If there have been those discussions and the AG's office has issued some preliminary opinions, I have not been privy to those decisions.
I doubt the Attorney General's opinion would give any official preliminary opinions about something like this. They would probably,
they probably
agree and nod their head that it was okay, but.
No, they can actually issue.
They can,
a,
yes.
A written opinion that interprets the statute and its applicability. And I think at this stage, given the questions and the fact that there are only two in the last couple decades that have ever been formed, I think it would be prudent before we start making commitments and putting it out to the public that we know exactly what we are permitted to do. And if there are questions, then the Attorney General's office would be the appropriate agency to issue a written opinion. And that can come from any one of the elected officials.
Again, just remember, the letter you're signing tonight doesn't endorse the entire process. All it says is wants you to move forward with questions like you're suggesting on a timely manner. Being how our time frame is relatively short, the window is small, I would suspect that if we get letters back from the cities just to the county commissioners suggesting they move forward within the next 2 to 3 weeks, then we would move forward. If we don't, then the whole thing will be dropped anyway. That's my guess.
And that's what we have before us tonight, is that letter of support. That we need to vote on to have our mayor sign it. But this last paragraph of this letter, it says, therefore, the city council will see that the city of Ocala wishes to express our support and ask that the county commissioners proceed with the process of creating an aquifer protection area and an assessment to provide local funds for the Columbia Basin Crown Water Management Area. That last sentence is what I'm having a hold of a lot of questions to right now. I do have a lot of questions that I would like to have answered before I can fully support.
Just take the sentence out. Just tell me you want to move ahead. It's the only way you'll get the answers anyway. This is a little bit of a political football right now. You know, commissioners don't want to say anything in an election year that has to do with taxes. And cities have reasonable questions, and so do citizens. And that's recognizable. And it's 10,000 square miles, and there's only a couple of us to answer all the questions. So it's a likely scenario that it's going to have challenges that we're not going to be able to address real easily. However, the political football is this, that if there isn't any expressed intention to go forward, then no one will. So if you're uncomfortable with the language that's in the letter, strike it. And just tell them to move forward in a reasonable fashion and don't support the assessment or the aquifer protection area process at this time until such time as you get your questions answered. But without the letter of at least move forward, it dies in 2 weeks.
My opinion is if we give the county commissioners this letter that states that the assessment of the funds, we're giving them 100% endorsement into this aquifer protection, pretty much.
And if that's your concern, then I would strike the language.
Yeah. I've been listening to some of this here. I know we've got pretty deep here to what we're doing, but I think the intent of this letter was just for them to proceed forward so they can look into this, have some public hearings and whatnot, and get most of this ironed out. And then I'm sure that they're going to come back to us as the cities before they put this on the ballot. I think at least when they once get everything refined, what the whole intent of this is, then I think it probably will come back to the cities or whatever, even if the county makes a decision.
Well, actually, what will happen is that they'll have a series of hearings, which you can participate in if you don't want to or want to. But the RCW requires that the county commissioners offer the language, as she talked about, of the resolution itself and the ballot to each city in prior to the decision to put it on the ballot, so that each city can have the option to opt in or opt out of the ballot, out of the election itself. So when the hearings and all the negotiations are done somewhere around the end of July, you'll receive, this is the final proposal, which may be on the ballot. At that point in time, if you don't like it, you can say, I'm Othello and I don't want to be in it. I don't want to be assessed. I want to be out of the, and so if all the cities opt out of the assessment, yeah, I'm pretty sure it won't go on the ballot because you have to get it. You have to get a majority vote to make it happen. So that's where we sit. Some of the questions you've asked, very valid questions we've been asking them too, need to have maybe more secure answers in the process in the next 60 days. But again, the final election resolution language will be presented to each city with an offer to opt out of the assessment process itself. And if a lot of cities opt out, then it's likely to not go to the ballot. There you go.
So I think the biggest concern is the language at the end of the letter, but the initial support would still be provided if we submit it without that, and I would be fine with that.
If the council wants to do something with the letter that's before you, as Mr. Garcia stated, you can just delete that last sentence, which is the second paragraph, basically, and send the letter with the remaining language. Would that be sufficient, Paul?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
And it still shows in support.
Absolutely.
I make that motion.
I'll second it.
Second. Further discussion? Go ahead. Is that okay for people wants to clear up a lot of the questions that you have? For us to then just the top part of it, not the last paragraph?
Yes, because the city has always been supportive of WAMA. That's why we're involved with that organization. You may want to change then the regarding sentence to be consistent with.
Yeah. And basically, what I get in return is we want to cut out from that last paragraph right after it says aquifer protection period, once it's hand assessed. I'm going to air it really mean. Yes. That sentence, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's good enough. You want to send me a list of your questions? I'll pursue them. Or would you do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Cool.
4.8. Resolution to allow the use of city property for the fellow car show.
Okay, we are here for the council to approve the resolution of the use of public property for the All City Classic Car Club. This event is an annual car show. This year they are looking to schedule it July 20th and 21st. The plans include a parade of cars and registration event on Friday, July 20th on South First. With this, the north side of Columbia Street to the south side of Scrutiny Street will be roped off. They'll have registration for the event, parade of cars, and slow drags between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Emergency access will be allowed into the area, and Columbia Street and Scrutiny Street will be open for traffic traveling east and west. The car show itself will be held in Kiwanis Park, Saturday, July 21st, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The budget for this is the city costs for the event are approximately $200 for garbage, $400 for porta potties, about six or seven of them. We recommend that City Council approve the resolution for the car show events and authorize staff to work out the event details with the car club. And we are asking to approve the resolution authorizing the property or the use of city property and ride away of the All City Classic Car Show for the 20th and 21st of July.
I make that motion.
First, second. discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Okay, 4.9, resolution to authorize use of Lions Park School Summer Feeding Program.
City staff met with Jeanette Root from the Othello School District regarding the school district summer feeding program. They have asked that they requested use of the park shelter number 1 in Lions Park for a lunch program Monday through Friday, 11:45 to 12:15, June 13th through July 19th, excluding the 4th of July. Based upon the usage from last year, they estimate 40 participants per day, but of course that'll vary. The children are walk-ins, they're not bused to the site. They provide 2 supervisors on site. And this is the park shelter that's next to the tennis courts. If approved, we'll enter into a facility use agreement, and the Othello School District will provide the insurance certificates and endorsement certificates as required by the contract. Based upon last year's use program, there was little impact to the park shelter. They asked that the children, they get sack lunches, they asked that they put all of their garbage in their sacks, and then they throw the sacks away. From our meeting with the school district's representative, we do recommend that the council approve the resolution authorizing use of city property for the Othello School District Summer Food Program for 2020.
I'll second.
Second. Any further questions?
I got one. How has the, I guess it'd be for Terry, how has the cleanliness been after these things before? Have they been picking up after themselves?
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
I thought you wanted to participate, so I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
Aye.
In the 2012 budget process, council adopted the capital improvement plan, and in it there are several items. You also indicated that you want 14th Avenue to be placed on, or to make application for the Public Works Trust Fund monies. There's a little box in there that says in the application, we have to check to say this 14th Avenue is on a plan. So tonight we're asking you to approve putting 14th Avenue in the capital improvement plan of the city so we can make the application that you want for funding.
I so move that we put it on our capital facility plan.
Second.
Got a question, second. Any further questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 4.11, M&I water contract for East Columbia Basin Irrigation District.
Good evening, Council. Tonight we'll talk a little bit about our M&I water with the irrigation district. In the past, they've had several contracts have been amended. I think clear back to 1995, there's been 3 of them. They've been up and down and up and down, and they want to bring this all together into one contract. We still get 200 acre feet of water a year. We have 2 parks that take irrigation water, Kiwanis and Lions. They've restructured that. It had 1 point of diversion. It has 2 points of diversion out of the East Low 68 canal. They've moved that to 2 points of diversion, and they've also moved the boundaries to the city limit boundaries, so they're not confined to just 2 parks. So if we were to use this somewhere else for another park in the future, then this water can be used anywhere inside the city limits for irrigation purposes. So this all said and done through the irrigation district, there's a $200 fee for restructuring this contract here and bringing everything up to current date. So tonight I'd like to ask council for the approval of this contract with our irrigation water with the district.
motion.
First. I'll second it.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Public Works Capital Project Windows. I will be excusing myself for this portion of the agenda. Since I'm excusing myself, we need to appoint another mayor pro tem for this one subject only. And I would like to appoint Charles Garcia, or elect Charles Garcia to the position. So, we need a motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Gotta work. We move to item 4.12, Public Works Capital Project Windows.
Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about windows. It's part of our capital project and improvement for the Public Works shop and building down there. We went out to bid to replace the windows, upgrade the windows. They're a single pane window. They're quite well outdated, well used windows, so to speak. But we've went out and got three bids for the purpose of this. And the first bid was Johnson Glass and Doors LLC for $9,188.33. Columbia Glass was $18,983.46. And Scott Brothers, we got asked them to produce a bid, but they were unable, and they were willing to write us letters to why they were unable. And they were they have a very large contract with WSU right now, so they couldn't provide the service. So. This window contract here that we're asking council to approve tonight is part of the upgrade of the building, and the next thing on the agenda would be blocks to go with this. But tonight I ask council to approve the contract with Johnson's Glass for $9,188.33 tonight.
With that being said, I'll entertain a motion.
I so move that we award the bid to Johnson Glass and Doors.
I second that.
I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let me back up. Any further discussion?
Yeah.
Is there any further discussion in the matter?
Do we have enough people for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passed.
Okay, item 4.13, Public Works Capital Project Block Work.
Tonight, this is just a spin-off of the windows thing here. They're both going hand in hand here, but it is part of the capital that we improvement for the shop down there. It's the block work to block up the windows that were taken out so they're not so large, a little more energy efficient here. But anyway, we went out to bid, and block guys, masonry people, are really, really hard to find in this area. So we were only able to come up with two here for this bid process. The first one was D&W Masonry, $6,490. The second one was Sanco Masonry, $9,128.78. We're asking council to approve the contract with D&W Masonry for $6,490 tonight.
So moved.
Second.
Got a first and second. Any further questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. 4.14, contract with Ogden, Murphy, and Wallace. Catherine.
Thank you. We talked previously about the AT&T Mobility Refund lawsuit that's been filed, and what you have before you tonight is an engagement letter with Ogden, Murphy, and Wallace. And do they have the contract? And as you can see from the contract, there is a buy-in fee of $1,600 to compensate the attorneys for their previous work and research on this case, and then the hourly rates at which they will charge for the litigation attorneys. I can tell you that since you received these documents, the pool or the group that is contracting with Ogden, Murphy, and Wallace has increased by several other cities, so that will lower your pro rata percentage share of the overall costs. We have also received confirmation from Wayne Tanaka and Chris Baca, the two lead attorneys, that the plaintiff's counsel is willing to stipulate to having this case basically held in abeyance until after the summary judgment motion is filed. So that means that in the event the cities were to lose at summary judgment, each of us retains the right to pursue our own defense individually after that time, including to make a motion to change venue to an Eastern Washington forum rather than litigating it in King County. But based upon the research that I have seen so far, there is a strong belief that the summary judgment motion will be successful. So we are hoping that this effort will put an end to this particular claim.
How many other cities were named in this suit again?
Total in Washington, there are 132. And it's quite significant to note that the three big cities were not named, Seattle, Tacoma, and Spokane, even though they also received the same claims. But the dollars on the table with those cities are vastly different than the dollars on the table for any of the other cities. They're in the millions.
I think this would be a really good move for us right now. Do I hear a motion?
I move to authorize the mayor to sign the contract with Ogden, Murphy, Wallace.
First?
I second.
Second? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion so carried. Is there any unfinished business to bring up tonight? Any new business? With that, meeting's adjourned.